Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible this morning, say to them, where's your Bible? Come on, don't be afraid of their faces. Say to them, where's your Bible? Don't come to church without your Bible. You're not here to do fashion parade. This is a matter of life and death. You don't go to school without your lecture notes. So you don't come to the church without your Bible and your notepad. If you are really serious about being fruitful, if you are really serious and you want God to empower you, you come armed. You don't come with, you know, your weave on and your makeup and you don't have a Bible and a notepad to take notes. So please say to them next week. Say to them, don't be afraid of the people sitting next to you. Say to them next week, make sure you bring your Bible. If you don't have one, I'll buy one for you. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8.
Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Hallelujah. May the Lord bless the reading and the doing of his word. The supporting text, Job 22, quickly. Job 22 from verse 27. I'll just lay this foundation and then I'll get into my message this morning. Job 22, verse 27. I'm going to be using quite a few scriptures, so please take them down because you will have need to go and revisit them later on. Job 22, verse 27 to 29. It's a scripture that I'm sure a lot of us know or should know. Are you there?
Yes.
Uzo, please read for us quickly.
Verse 27. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 and verse 18. Now stop with these scriptures for now. Hebrews 6. Just verse 13 and verse 18.
Verse 13. But when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself.
Because he could swear by no other one greater, he swore by himself. Verse 18.
That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Hallelujah. Amen. By two immutable or unchangeable things, by which it is impossible for God to lie. You know, the first thing I want to establish, we read the scripture that talked about the persistent widow, and we've read just a few scriptures that talks about the fact that God is a good God, that God is not a man that he should lie, that he doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. When he says something, the Bible says he made a promise to Abraham. And because he could swear by no other greater, he swore by himself. You know, so that means that when God says something to you, when God says you are fruitful, you can go to the bank. Because he honors his word above his name. So if he says it, it is done. He's not a man that he should lie or change his mind. Or say, you know what, I'm not really sure I want to. No. Once he establishes it, it is done. The Bible also says in John chapter 10, verse 10, and we don't have time to read that scripture, that, you know, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but Jesus came to give us life, and to give us life more abundantly. So our God is a good God. Once he has said it, it is done. Once he has opened the door, it's no longer closed. But, you know, I was just, you know, throughout this week, the Lord had just been speaking to me about various things that had been happening in my own life, about some of the things I had been waiting on the Lord to bring to pass in my life. And he started, you know, just speaking to me about another area that I was aware of, but I had left, you know, lying dormant. And that's what I'm going to be talking to us today. We know that God has said in his word that, you know, no eye has seen what he has prepared for us. He hasn't entered into the mind of man what he has prepared, what he has earmarked for us. But sometimes we declare it, we say it, you know, we know this is the year of fruitfulness, but it's not happening. And we're wondering, God, what's going on here? You said that you won't change your mind, so how come I haven't seen the fulfillment of the things that you promised me? God does not withhold anything good from us. He will not withhold anything good. So he doesn't want us unfruitful. He doesn't want us barren. He doesn't want us impoverished. He doesn't want us in bondage. He doesn't want us unhealthy. He's not an author of evil. Everything good comes from our God because he's a good God. So if anything otherwise is happening, he's not the author of that. And I need to begin to check and see how come these things are as they were, because that is not God's will for my life. God has said in his word that he wants us, for instance, to have a good marriage. He says that marriage is good and the bed is undefiled. So if my marriage at the moment is going through some storms, he's not the author of that, because he's the author of good and not evil. He's the author of peace and not the storm. So I need to begin to check and find out what's going on. Praise God. So, you know, but I was thinking, but God, not everybody goes through this. Some people just have it easy, like they have an easy ride in life. You know, they have a very sheltered life. Things just flow. Before they pray, God has answered. Before they call, he has come. So how come some of us have not experienced some of the things that, you know, has been promised unto us? And the Lord began to open my eyes to some of the reasons why. Some of the reasons why is one of the reasons I'm going to be sharing very, very quickly. But before I get into that, how many of us have seen everything that the Lord has, all the promises, all the prophecies that has been declared over you? Every single one of them has come to you this year. Can I see your hands, please? Nobody. So at least I have one or two people that this message is concerning. So that means that some of us here, this message will apply to you, because you are like me and you are wondering. You know, it's like your faith, you are holding on. They say you should have faith. You have faith, but your faith is almost, you know, running out. They said you need to be strengthened. You are strengthened, but your knees are almost becoming feeble. It's like, my strength is beginning to fail me, God. It's like, oh, you need to have hope. You have hope, but hope deferred makes the heart go sick. So if the things I'm believing God, if the expectation, my expectation is not being realized, after some time, the Bible says that the heart will begin to faint. It's like, what's going on here? You know? And the Lord began to open my eyes to the fact that when he says we should decree a thing, and we decree it, it is established. I said it is established. But a lot of times, a lot of us are not persistent enough to see those things come to pass. We read the parable of the persistent widow. The Bible says that day and night she went to an unjust judge that didn't even know, didn't fear God, didn't fear man. He's not like God. And the judge said, you know what? Lest she weary me with her coming. So that means that woman kept going. It doesn't tell us how many times she kept going, but she didn't give up. She kept negotiating in prayer. She kept tarrying in prayer until the judge said, you know what? I'm going to avenge this woman. But a lot of Christians don't have that kind of tenacity. We give up just before the breakthrough. We give up just before the mountain breaks. We give up on our marriages just before the Lord comes through. We give up on that dream, that vision that the Lord has given us just before. We don't have the tenacity. We don't have the wherewithal to press until those things are an actualization in our lives. And then we wonder if God has not changed his mind. As far as God is concerned, those things are already settled in heaven. You know, this week something really interesting happened to me. You know, I was expecting some things to come through. Somebody was meant to send some money to me. And I knew it was already a done deal. If I had been waiting, looking, you know, every day I would go, you know, look and see whether the envelope has arrived and nothing. And then all of a sudden, I got a letter. And the letter was like almost a final conclusion to the fact that the check wasn't going to come. And I was really, really upset. I was pained in my heart. I said, this thing belongs to me. It has my name and number. It has my name on it. And then the enemy just decided that he was going to steal it. He was going to delay it. He was going to withhold it. And I was very upset with God. I said, God, what's going on here? And God said, you know what? If you don't press and tarry in prayer, that thing will not come to you. Even though it has my name and number on it. He said, I've already released it. But if you fold your arms and you allow the enemy to steal from you, that's your choice. Are you going to keep calling? Are you going to keep pressing and lay hold of what belongs to you until it's a realization, like that woman that we read in Luke chapter 18? So I said, okay, God, so what is that all I need to do? He said, you keep doing it until you see it. Until you have it in your hand. You don't give up. That's what we just read in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. You don't give up. Until you get your baby, you don't give up. Until your marriage is turned around, you don't give up. Until that child that is unruly and is at the bottom of the class becomes the top of the class, you don't give up praying. Until the sickness and the disease is out of your body, you don't give up praying. You don't quit praying until it's in your hands. So I said, okay, that's simple. I know what to do. I just need to just declare. You said we should declare a thing and it will be established. I need to just call it forth and it's going to come forth. But apart from that, what other things can hinder or stop the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives? The first thing I want to talk about today. It's so hot in here. We need an AC. We need to pray that God will release our building to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Our own building where we can have, you know, some lovely, not this, you know, the fire of the Holy Ghost is here. That's why. Hallelujah. The first thing, disobedience or sin. I think I thought I would start with the bad news so we can end with the good news. Disobedience or sin. You know, we read Job chapter 22. It says, you make your prayer to him, he will hear you. You declare a thing, it will be established. You will say, cast, when they say cast down, you say lifting up and everything will be done. But sometimes it doesn't hear us. Why? Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 from verse 1. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his hair heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins, your iniquities have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you. Can you see that? So that he will not hear you. So on the other hand, it says, on one hand, it says, when you call, I will hear you. When you declare it, I will hear you. And on the other hand, it says, no, I won't hear you if there is this thing in your life. If there is iniquity in your life. If there is sin in your life. I will not hear you. And I will still be God. I will still be God. You know, a lot of us, a lot of times, you know, when people do certain things, I just say to myself that it's lack of understanding. Like what Mr. Yomi was talking about to us during workers' training. I'm not going to, actually, it was in my notes to share, but he did a fantastic job. My pastor buttressed that, you know, when he was talking about tithes. You know, it's a lack of understanding because if you understood that, you know, you don't give your tithes, you pay your tithes. It's non-negotiable. You don't give it, you pay it. And if you don't pay it to God, like Pastor rightly said, you pay it to the enemy. So if you had that understanding, and you know, the enemy doesn't need permission to steal from you. It's God that needs your permission. When you pray, you're giving God permission. You're giving heaven the permission to step into your situation. The Bible says that he knocks on the door of our hearts. You know, before he comes into your heart, he knocks. He says, can I come in? Can I be your Lord? If you say no, he will go. If you say yes, he will come. So he's a gentleman. But the enemy is not like that. He doesn't need your permission. He will steal whatever. And if you don't pay your tithe, it's not that he will take money from you. He might take something else from you. He might take your health. He doesn't need your permission. His mission is to steal, to kill, destroy. Full stop. What is there for the stealing? Then, you know, the first thing, when things happened to us, there was a time, and I'm digressing from my message. I'm going to stick to my notes. You know, there was a time that our heater at home broke down. It just stopped working. Sorry, our central heating. It just stopped working. And I'm like, The first thing we do, we check ourselves. Did you pay your tithe? I was like, Pastor, I'm up to date. Are you up to date? You know, because it shouldn't be happening. The devourer has no right to steal from me because I'm a tither. I pay my tithe. So I said, Pastor, there's no gap here. And there was not, you know, we're up to date. I said, so how come? How come? And you know what Pastor did? He just went. In fact, we had called the guy to come and fix it and all that. But he just went and he laid hands on the thing. I was thinking, just go and call the man. It's cold. You know, this thing is not going to work, man. I'm not going to freeze in the house. And he laid hands on it. And lo and behold, the following day, it started working. It had to work. Apart from the fact that Pastor is anointed and those hands were really, you know, there was no room. The enemy, he had to be rebuked. Because I had done my own part, so God had to do his own part. So if we have understanding of what sin does to us, we will flee from sin. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, Bible says that a righteous man will, you know, he will fall 7 times and he will get up again. I'm not talking about, you know, we all make mistakes, we all fall, we all falter. We do what we don't want to do, like Paul said. The things I want to do, I find myself not doing, and the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about willful sin. This is what the Bible is talking about here. Willful. So they said it, Pastor has said it, Jeho has said it, you turn on God TV, that's what they're talking about, and you just choose to harden your heart. You just say, my own understanding of scripture is different from Pastor, from Jeho, from all the ministers on TV. I have a different understanding. Watch it when that begins to happen. Watch it. When the Lord stops rebuking you about something. My God. When he stops rebuking you, the Bible says, whom he loves, he chastens, he disciplines, he corrects. When he stops, because he's a gentleman, he doesn't force it. He'll just tell you once, twice. Watch it. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't compromise. Don't sin. Don't fornicate. Don't sleep with that guy. And you say, God understands. He'll just leave you. We remember Samson. I'll go out as before. And he didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But you have a part to play. You cannot continue in sin and say that grace will abide. That's what the Bible says. God forbid. You cannot take the name of God for granted or his grace for granted. So that's what I'm talking. I'm talking about willful disobedience. So you know it's not right to sleep with somebody that is not your husband. And you keep doing it. Say, God understands. God does not understand sin. Hello? God does not understand sin. Newsflash. He doesn't understand. He's holy. There is no iniquity in him. So he doesn't understand. He loves us, but AIDS will not forgive you. Yes. God will forgive. AIDS won't forgive. God will forgive. Chlamydia won't forgive. I always tell single girls. I see them all the time. They come to the pharmacy. They have, you know, they have chlamydia. And one of the symptoms, or one of the effects of chlamydia, number one, you don't even know you have it. So for all the singles in the house, open your ears. No matter how much that guy loves you, don't let him. He doesn't love you. If he loves you, he won't sleep with you. If you are not married to him, he doesn't love you. He has no business touching your body, any part of your body. Because when you get chlamydia, you don't even know you have it, unfortunately. By the time we see them in the pharmacy, it's almost too late. We are trying to treat. You don't know you have it, and one of the side effects is infertility. So you get married to the one the Lord has apportioned for you, and then you are trying for a baby for years, and you don't even know that it's because of one guy with K-leg that you slept with 10 years ago. I'm on a mission this morning. Honestly. Years ago, he's moved on now. He has 5, 6 of them. Babinos, you are believing God, you are praying, foolishness. So when God says don't sin, it's for our own good. It's lack of understanding. I'm telling you, lack of serious understanding. Or if you're a man, you say, man, all those girls, man, you see all those girls on that row, I've finished all of them. I know all of them. All of them that could carry their Bible, I've dealt. I know them. You begin to boast. Lack of understanding. If God were to open your eyes to who you are sleeping with, you will run. You will run. You know, if you knew who you were sleeping with, if you knew who they were in the spirit, if you knew what they were doing with your life, your semen, that's your life. That's your generations. that you're just, if you knew what they were doing, the exchange they're making in the spirit realm, you will run from adultery if you're a married man. Because it happens with married men. It's not just the singles. You will run. If a woman, a Jezebel comes your way, a Delilah, you say, I'm not at home. And she smiles to you, I am not around. Because you don't know. That's what Samson. Samson didn't know what, I'm digressing. Samson didn't know what Delilah was going to do with him. Was going to cut off the glory. If he had known that she was going to cut off, would he have gone there? Lack of understanding. So it's for our own sin. These are the things that will stop us from entering into our fruitfulness. Because God will look away. You know, the Lord opened my eyes to when Jesus was on the cross. And it says that, you know, this was the Son of God. He was on the cross. And do you know that because he was the Son of God and because he was God, every time he answered God, any time he prayed, God answered him. But when he was on the cross, the Bible says he cried, my Father, why have you forsaken me? In my midnight hour, I'm calling, you are not answering. Why did you leave? The Bible says that heaven was silent. God did not answer Jesus. Because the Bible says that when he was on the cross, he had taken on the sins of the world. So because our sins, the Bible says that he had no sin, but our own sins were put on him, that we might have his righteousness. So there was an exchange going on. So because God, Jesus had to die, he had to become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Your sin, my sin, your generations, it had to go on him. And God said, you know what? I love you, son. You're my son. I can't look. I can't. And he said, why have you forsaken me? Because of the sin he was carrying. And you think God will spare you. If he didn't spare his own son, he will look and ignore your own. So, willful sin. Once God has said something, once, twice, deal with it. Ask God for grace. Come out if you need counseling. Come back. If you need pastor to pray for you, whatever it takes, don't continue and harden your heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. The second thing, like I said, lack of persistence. Lack of persistence. The Bible says that a broken and a contrite spirit, just going back to my first point, the Lord will not despise. So once you are really sincere, once you repent and you change your ways, you go in the other direction. So you move from this lane, you move to the other lane. God, you know, he won't despise that. It's when you keep doing it that he can't stand it. Lack of persistence, number two. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, men always ought to pray and not to faint. And we know the story of that widow. She continued pressing. A lot of us don't press in prayer enough. I press towards the mark. We don't press enough. You can imagine Moses, when God gave him a mission, God gave him an assignment. You would have thought it would be easy. If God says go and deliver, it should be easy, isn't it? But it wasn't so. He had to go to Pharaoh 10 times at least before he would let them go. What if he had given up the first time, or the third time, or the fifth time, or the ninth time? What would have happened to that mission? And God would still have been God, because he had said it. Or like the widow that we read, what would have happened if she had given up and not continued pressing until she got her revenge? Or Jabez, you know, the Bible says that his mother called him pain because he was born in pain. His lot in life was not good. He says, God, you have to change my name. You have to change my story from poverty to prosperity. You must enlarge my coast. You have to bless me. It doesn't tell us how long that prayer was for. We always quote the prayer of Jabez. But we don't know how long Jabez prayed for. We don't know how long we know that Elijah prayed at least 7 times before the rain came. So a lot of times when we see things in the Bible, you know, don't read it in context. It doesn't tell you. We know that Jacob wrestled. He wrestled until what? He says, you know what? The angel said, leave me. I'm going. He said, no, you're not going to go until you bless me. He wrestled until he got what he wanted from God. Until he had the manifestation. You don't stop praying. It might be prayer of thanksgiving. So it might not always be warfare. It might just be thanking God all the time, reminding him of what he has done. It's still prayer. But you don't give up. You don't say it's God's will. It's God's will for your house to be on the rocks. It's not God's will for your marriage to be on the rocks. It's not God's will for you not to be fruitful, not to have a child. When he says that none shall be barren, he says it's God's. It's not God's will. It's his will that you are blessed. It's his will that you are fruitful and that you prosper. So if it's not happening, you need to be persistent until your barn is full. Hallelujah. I don't have a lot of time, so I have to fly. Because I want us to pray, one or two prayer points at the end. The third thing, lack of ignorance. Lack of knowledge or ignorance. If you lack ignorance, your story is good. Lack of knowledge or ignorance. Lack of knowledge or ignorance. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Is somebody getting blessed this morning? I don't expect too many amens, but I'm not here to tickle your fancy. I'm here to set you free. So if I don't get amens, that's all right. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Who's all read for me, please, if you're still there, so I can save my strength. Wow. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Well, I didn't even see that there when I was looking at it. They are destroyed. The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. So it's saying that the only reason why the enemy will be able to destroy you is because you lack knowledge. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Knowledge is so important. It's so important. If we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to see the realization of the fruitfulness that God has promised to us as a church, we need knowledge. We need knowledge. Ephesians chapter 1. Are you there, Uzo, please? May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Go on, verse 18. Pray this prayer. Say, God, open my eyes. No, don't pray it like that. Pray it like you mean it. Say, God, open my eyes. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know. If your eyes are not open, you can't know. You can't know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are ignorant Christians. We lack knowledge. And ignorance can kill. If I didn't know this was water, if I lack knowledge as to what is in this cup, it could be acid. And I would drink it. I didn't know. It will kill me. The fact that I didn't know is no excuse. Do you get the point? So I said, I didn't know it was acid. No excuse. So we need to get the knowledge. We need to get understanding. You need to pray this prayer, this Ephesians. We always use this scripture a lot in this church. That the Lord will open the eyes of your understanding. So you can know. So if your fruitfulness is not coming, if the dream is not coming, you've prayed, you've checked yourself, you're not in sin. What else could be going on here? But a lot of Christians, we don't even read our Bible. Some of us don't have Bibles. You are not serious. You want to be fruitful, you don't have a Bible that you read? Well, who are you fooling? We don't buy the tapes. Pastor will say, oh, we've got a pack, blah, blah, blah. We don't listen to the word, and then you want to have faith. When the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We don't buy messages. We don't buy Christian books. We don't get any knowledge about the enemy we are dealing with. The Bible says do not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. A lot of us are ignorant. We are ignorant about God and his word, and we are ignorant about the devil. So he's just having a field day, and then we are saying God is not come through for us. Lack of knowledge will steal from you. When you don't have an understanding of what you are dealing with, who you are dealing with, the enemy will rob you of what is yours. Because he knows that you don't even know. Your eyes are not, you don't know. You can't see what you are dealing with. You know, let's look at Zechariah chapter 1, chapter 3. I want to open our eyes to something here. Quickly, Zechariah. It's in the Old Testament. You know, because some people say, you know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So anything that could have done or that I might have done, blah, 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 once I give my life, you know, no, it's not like that. The Bible talks about Lazarus, that when Jesus called Lazarus from the dead, he came forth, but he was bound. He had chains on him. And Jesus was the one that called him from the dead. So the fact that you are a Christian, you are born again, your spirit man is, new. But there are some things that you need to inquire. There are some things that you are carrying that you need to deal with. Zechariah chapter 3. It says, verse 1, then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of... So he was a high priest. The least qualification, at least to be a high priest, is like, if you're going to be a pastor, at least you must be born again. Abi, is it true? You can't be a high priest without being born again, without being a Christian. Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord. So he came to church and he was standing before the angel of the Lord, worshiping, praising, you know, just thinking life is good. And he says, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And he's born again. He's a high priest, he's a pastor, or he's the head of department, or what have you, born again for a very long time, opposing him. Opposing him. But he didn't know, because his eyes were not open. He didn't know that the enemy was there. If the Lord had not rebuked the enemy, he was wearing filthy garments. If we go down, the Bible says he had filthy garments on. He didn't know. He was a Christian. He was a believer. So, you know, the Lord started opening my eyes to some things. Because for a while, you know, some things started happening to me. You know, when I determined I was going to begin to lift up my head and begin to take my calling seriously, calling of prayer and all of that. And it was like, I was just being, show me 10 minutes. I was just, some things were just happening to me in my dream life. In fact, I called my mom and said, Mom, what's going on? Every time I have a dream, it's like somebody is chasing me or they're oppressing me. How come I'm not victorious in my dream? And I know that I haven't left any gap for the enemy. What's going on here? How come? It kept happening. And then I listened. God gave me revelation and opened my eyes. I said to me, look, once you begin to want to lift up your head, once you begin to say that you want to be a serious believer, you want to go for gold, you want to be all that God has, do you think those demons will just be looking at you? The demons that were asleep, they will wake up suddenly. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17, that the Lord gave someone a vision and he saw 4 horns that were trying to push people down so that they could not lift up their heads. So like those people wanted to lift up, they wanted to arise. I said, no, you're not going anywhere. So that was what was happening to me. And the Lord says, as long as you keep pressing on in prayer, one day an angel will just come and defeat them. But you don't give up. What's happening is that things are happening in the spirit realm and the enemy is not happy about it. So sometimes, you know, you need knowledge. You need to revisit some family altars. I don't know if this is too heavy for Sunday service, but I'll say it anyway. Because those were some of the things that were almost limiting me in my own walk with God. With all my love for God, with all my spirit-filled, born-again tongues. You know, I'll just have, you know, when you have dreams, you know, there was a time I kept having dreams. And I think I told my mom as well. You know, each time I'll have a dream and I'll be back home in my house in Lagos, Nigeria, that I left almost 10 years ago. Or I'll see myself in Unilag with my friends. Or I'll see myself in my secondary school hanging out with my... I'm like, what's going on here? I won't dream about being in Milton Keynes or Brick. Always back. I said, what's going on here? And then, look, you need to go back and deal with some things. The Lord, because it kept happening, and the Lord said, yes, I want you to lift up your head, but those things, all those things that have been asleep, you need to go back and begin to redig. You know, a lot of us, if you come from a family or a background where, you know, maybe you come from a long line of priests, long line of Christians, your grandfather was a Christian, well, in fact, he was a deacon in the Baptist church. Your great-great-great-great-grandfather built the church. If you come from that lineage, you probably don't need to do too much warfare. In fact, those are the ones that just get everything before they pray. God answers. It's like Solomon. He didn't do anything now. He didn't fight any wars. His father had fought the war for him. His father had entered into a covenant with Jehovah. So he didn't need to strive. But if you're like someone like me, that I come from, and a lot of us here, Asian, Caribbean, African, is all the same. We all have idolatry. We all have, you know, Freemasonry, occultism. A lot of us, our fathers are chiefs, are kings. Do you know what has been done on your behalf? You don't have the kind of covenant that Solomon had with David, had with God, though, because David had struck a covenant, so it was working for him. He didn't have no war, peace throughout. But if you come from, you need to go and redeem. Bible says that God told Gideon, says, "I've called you, you're a mighty man of valor. Go back to your father's house and go and tear down the altars." So you keep having dreams, you know, back. It's like they want to take you back. Because those things have been done on your behalf. And it's not your fault. Oh, you weren't there. Were you there? But the enemy, that's no excuse. He will go, he goes before the Lord and he does what? Accuses. The Bible says day and night. That's all he does. He just looks for something to accuse. He was like, you know, trying to oppose Zechariah here. What was he doing? Using things that had been done before. We need to, the Bible says that there's no handwriting, no requirement anywhere that the blood of Jesus has not wiped away. But if you don't draw the bloodline, if you don't say, you know what, I am going to build a new foundation for my children. Yeah, it's true, my father came from, you know, an Islamic background or what have you, but it stops here. My children will not go through what I'm, you are fighting not just for yourself, you are fighting for your family, for your children, for your generations. So we might need to do so. These things will prevent us from being fruitful. Ask questions. Find out what's been done on your behalf. Because it's not about I'm a born-again Christian. That's not enough. You need to lay the axe to the root of the tree, of your foundation. And begin to uproot and begin to dig out everything that should not be there. Because you need to dig out, uproot before you can plant. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9. If we don't dig out, we can't plant. And then what will happen is that the wheat and the tares will continue to grow together. And the tears will choke the wheat. Hallelujah. I hope you are getting some knowledge today. You know, Lord opened my eyes and he said to me, how many of us have heard the term household enemies? When we hear household enemies, we always think of somebody in the physical. You know, it's like, oh, maybe your uncle somewhere, your mother-in-law somewhere, your mom, your aunt, you know, they've done something. Sometimes that's true. It could be literal. But sometimes it could just be your source. In your household, they've done something that is wicked in the sight of God, that is standing against you. So it's not that it's those people, it's what has been done on your behalf that the Lord still sees as wickedness. The Lord still sees as rebellion. The Lord still sees as idolatry. So it's working against you. It's not the people sometimes. Because there was a time I kept having dreams and I, you know, some of my relatives, I'll be fighting with them in my dream. But in the natural, things were fantastic. I was like, and I know them. You know, the Bible says by their fruits, you shall know them. So if you're fighting pastor in the dream, then you have a problem, really, if you're fighting pastor in the dream. You know, but really, if you're fighting pastor in the dream, you know that pastor is just representative. And that's why you need knowledge. A lot of us don't even understand that dreams. You just dream, you just wake up. That's information to save your life. You just think, I had a dream. There was a time the enemy was stealing my dreams. I said, no. Because that's the way the Lord speaks to me. You can't steal it. His mission is to steal. You can't. So you have a dream. You just take it lightly. You just think it's just because you had pizza yesterday night. No. So you find yourself fighting pastor in your dream. You know that. You can't, there's no way pastor will fight him with you because he's God's anointed, God's representative. So the fruit speaks of him. And it could mean that maybe God is saying you are fighting me regarding this issue in your life. So you need to test. You can't just take anything, things literal. You need to find out. You need to seek in the place of prayer. So I was having this dream and some of my relatives were always fighting me. I'm like, what's going on here? I know them in the spirit and I know this is not their kind of fruit. And that kept happening. If you have a dream more than once, if you have a dream twice about something, you need to look into it. Don't take it for granted. It kept happening. What's going on here? Lord said, it's not the people. It's your source. Those people are representing where you are coming from, your lineage, your background, your upbringing, where you came from is not them, it's what has been done. But if I didn't inquire, it would have continued and it would have prevented me, you know, it would try to prevent me from going all the way, but it can't. Because once God gives you revelation about something, victory is assured. Victory is assured. You know, we've heard the term, last thing, violent opposition. I'm just rounding up. Violent opposition. We've heard the term new level, new devils. And it's interesting because when I was preparing for this message, Pastor gave me a magazine by Joyce Meyer. And I put down some things that she said because I was thinking, a Caucasian woman is saying new level, new devils. I thought it was just an African thing. And you know, like, if Joyce Meyer is saying that there are new levels and new devils, I need to look into this. And she was saying that, you know, every time you want to move forward, I think I put it down in my notes. I want to quote her. She says, all the demons that have been asleep, this is Joyce Meyer, all the demons that have been asleep and lying dormant before, suddenly wake up, and word goes out that you want to lift up your head. She says, things that you've dealt with in the past might want to resurface. Joyce Meyer. So for me, I was just like, if Joyce Meyer can have an understanding of this thing, because we think, you know, if you're Caucasian, you know, you're civilized, you know, you don't have the kind of garbage that we have. She was saying that new levels, new devils, you know, that every time God wants to bring you higher, there is going to be opposition. By your Joyce, quote unquote Joyce, there's going to be opposition that comes against you because of that new level. So, has God not said? Is it God's fault? It's not. We need to begin to wage war. You know, you've been having miscarriages all the time. Check out what's going on. That's not God. God wants you to be fruitful. The enemy doesn't want you to carry your fruit. We need to find out what's going on. Because the God of the Bible that I serve, it doesn't operate that way. The Bible says that a great and an effective door has been opened unto us. 1 Corinthians 16:9. But there are what? Many adversaries. God has opened the door, but there are many adversaries to us stepping into our breakthrough. This morning, as I begin to round up, we are going to say no today. How many of us are tired and want to say no? You want to say no to the enemy? Rise up to your feet. The Bible says in Obadiah 17 that upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, there shall be salvation, there shall be holiness, and the children of God, the children of Jacob, they shall possess their possessions. Hang on a minute before we possess. It says upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, deliverance or salvation. If you are not born again, please, don't even bother, because you already belong to. It's only people that are under the covering of the blood that Jesus will fight with. So if you are not born again and you want to give your life, this is not the time to, look, somebody once said, she said, oh, I'm a Christian, and I just thought, as long as I can be a Christian, I don't disturb the devil, I don't pray too much, I don't read my Bible too much, I don't fast too much, I just go and I come, and the devil will leave me alone. That I don't disturb the devil, oh, so I don't expect him to disturb me. Said, the devil disturbed. It doesn't matter. He doesn't need permission. So if you think, oh, I don't want to give my life and I won't disturb him as long as I don't go to his territory, leave me. He won't leave you alone because his mission is to destroy. So if you are not born again, you want to give your life, put your hands up right now so we can know that Jesus can begin to fight for you. Or if you want to rededicate your life, you haven't been living right, you have been, you know that there's some areas in your life that, you know, the enemy can use against you. Hands up right now before we begin to take our possessions. Right now, I'm not going to spend too much time. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. Hallelujah. Okay, we're all born again. If you are not, you're on your own. Because the blood will not work for you. You can't take the blood of Jesus in vain. If your name is not written in the book of life, you don't bother. So we're going to begin to take our possessions. The Bible says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we're going to begin to go in by the blood of the Lamb and by the name of Jesus into the enemy's camp to begin to take everything that belongs to you. Begin to lay hold. Begin to ask the Lord to open your eyes right now, the eyes of your understanding. Begin to ask the Lord to begin to restore everything the enemy has stolen from you. Begin to speak to him right now. Lay hold of your possessions this morning. Say enough is enough this morning. Be persistent in the place of prayer. Say, I will not let you go until you bless me. I will not let you go until you restore my marriage. I will not let you go until you restore my anointing. I will not let you go until you restore my dreams, my hope. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Right now, you will loose me and let me go. Every handwriting, every incantation that is working against me, right now I come in the name of Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus. I take back what belongs to me. I break every family altar. I break every generational link to my past. Every soul tap, everything that's acting against me negatively, I break it down in the name of Jesus. I break it down in the name of Jesus. I break it down in the name of Jesus. I take back what belongs to me right now. I take back my dream. I take back my vision.
Come on, pray. Lift up your voices right now and pray. Oh, In Jesus' name. You know, Pastor Tumisha shared a couple of things, but there's, as we're praying, my eyes were open to a couple of things. One thing she shared, the first point she made is that when you are in sin or disobedience, and, you know, as we're praying, I just felt in my spirit that some people are just having a futile exercise in that you are exercising your mouth and your body. Because you are in sin and disobedience, but you are trying to key and break through into certain areas. And, you know, she mentioned something. She said that, you know, willful. So, you know it is wrong. You know definitely without a doubt. And, you know, it's not the fault, you know, the one that you fall or make an error. But you know what you should be doing or what you should not be doing. But you are either for lack of discipline or lack of control or just to fulfill the lust of the flesh or the lust of your eyes. Now, this morning, we've prayed, you have prayed, you've fought the past and things. But I'm not going to call you out because it's between you and God, and we need to go. But I'm just